years ago. I don't know if he was just being nice to me or what, but Wendell Kidd, after church, he says, "Hey, I want you to preach on alcohol next Sunday." I said, "You want me to preach on alcohol?" He said, "I want you to preach on alcohol next Sunday." And I'm like, "Wendell, why do you want me to preach on alcohol?" I was like, "Are you struggling? Did you fall off the wagon or something?" He said, "Nope, I want you to preach a sermon that I don't feel convicted about and I don't struggle with alcohol, so I want to come to church and just sit and it not apply to me." Only Wendell would come up with that kind of thought. Well, here's my word. I'm coming after you today. Or better yet, the word is coming after you today. So you can't say, "Well, that doesn't apply to me." Nope. If you got a pulse, today's passage from Psalm 96, it applies to you. And it applies to Neil Jackson and every senior adult, every young adult. It is for you. Heard the phrase, "The cat got his tongue"? I have no idea what that means. I mean, I've heard that my whole life. I mean, one, I don't like cats. And two, no cat's getting close enough to my mouth to ever get my tongue. So if you understand what that phrase means, if you would explain it to me and keep your cat far away from me, I would appreciate it. When we come to Psalm 96, it's not talking about the cat getting your tongue. It's talking about the devil getting your tongue. Satan getting your tongue and just shutting you down and making you be quiet about the most important thing that we should be vocal and loud about. Psalm 96 is a universal call to praise the Lord. So it doesn't matter if you're young or old. He calls you to praise the Lord. It says all people and all creation are to sing and praise the Lord. Love seeing people get it baptized up here. Going public with their identification with Jesus. Raised to walk in newness of life. Yesterday over in the chapel, Pastor Travis had a wedding. One of the coolest weddings I've ever been in. Had a translator translating as Pastor Travis would give his thoughts at the wedding. I mean, sometimes as a pastor, I love seeing these young kids come on and they get it and they're good. Yesterday, I was like, "Man, I'm so glad I'm not doing this wedding." So for better or for worse, blah 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 blah. And then the bride and the groom had to catch up, and it was just, I felt like a termite in a yo-yo. It was really, 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 really cool. Weddings. Guy would have said yesterday, "Forsaking all others till death do us part? That's kind of a long time. How about 3 months, and then I will just kind of renew that contract?" She would have kicked him out. You're all in. This is what it's all about. And you're to pledge your life so long as you both shall live. That's what Psalm 96 is talking about. We're not being shy. We're not going to say, "Well, that's just not me." No. It's for all of us. 3 marks of a true believer. Sermon I've been titling, "Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So." Mark number 1. Notice the song of the redeemed. Look what it said, 96 verse 1. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." Now I can see some of you old boys, you're crossing your arms and saying, "Aha, I can't sing. Doesn't apply to me." Look at the verse. "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." It doesn't say sing unto the Lord all the earth that can sing. It doesn't say, sing unto the Lord, you that can carry a tune in the bucket. You can't carry a tune in the bucket. You are still supposed to sing. Martin Luther said, the devil hates and dreads singing Christians. The devil hates it when a child of God just lets it rip and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Hey, if you're on tune, if you're not on tune, the devil goes and hides and gets under the pew because he doesn't like it when Christians sing and praise Jesus. And he really doesn't like it when the church together comes and says, hey, we're here to praise the Lord. We're here to celebrate Jesus. And this choir, when they're getting into it and they're waving their hands, you know what they're doing? They're saying, hey, we love Jesus. And you know what the devil is doing? He's running. He's hiding. He's fleeing. He cannot inhabit the praise of God's people. There's nothing more special about the church. Come, look at verse 2. Somebody say, I don't know. Look at verse 2. This is for North Carolina folk. Verse 1 says, sing unto the Lord. Verse 1 says, sing unto the Lord. Verse 2 says, sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. It's repeated again in verse 8. 13 verses, psalmist addresses the Lord as Yahweh 11 times. That's where Moses is heading to Egypt. He said, who shall I say sent me? Yahweh, the I am that I am. Hey, that is our God. And we are to not be ashamed about him, not get let some kind of furry creature get our tongue or the devil to get our tongue. Let's just praise the Lord. Look, what is this? Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. And it says, show forth his salvation. So it turns from worship, and now it turns to witnessing. Listen. When you're praising Jesus, everybody around you can hear you sing and praise Jesus. When everything stinks and you're singing, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. It doesn't matter if you can sing. Hey, if you can't sing, come up here and sing along and with me. Hey, we will rejoice. Who about this? Day by day. You know what that means? Every day you're to be praising Jesus. When things are going your way and when things are going totally against you, praise the Lord. Look at verse 3. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders amongst all people. So you are to recount, you're to remember, hey, his goodness is running after me, it's running after me, it's running after me, it's chasing me down, it's hounding me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Declare his glory among the heathen. Thank God for the Wheelers. Willing to leave America to go to the other side of the world to declare his glory among the heathen. You're supposed to do the same thing where you work. There's heathen where you work. There's people that don't know Jesus where you work. And you're not supposed to let the cat get your tongue. You're supposed to let Jesus get your tongue and declare, hey, let me tell you about the goodness that keeps coming after me today and yesterday and the day before. And you say, I don't know. You're reading into this. Verse 4. The Lord is great. Can I get a witness on that? The Lord is great. I mean, I can understand if the Lord was bad, the cat getting your tongue. I can understand if the Lord's unfaithful, you not speaking up. But the Lord is great. You know what? You know what the response should be to the Lord being great? The verse. And he is greatly to be praised. I'm gonna rub some of you the wrong way here. I can understand if you're a Wolfpack fan in football, you don't have a lot of greatly things to praise. We're not talking about Wolfpack football. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've all said, hey, he's great. The response is, he is to be greatly praised. All right, guys, here's what that doesn't mean. You don't do that with a wolf pack. Why you do that with Jesus? I just don't understand. Look, verse 5. For all the gods of the nations are idols. The Lord, he's not some wood statue or some stone Buddha. You rub his stomach. No. He created heaven and earth. In response to him creating heaven and the earth, we should praise him. Look at verse 6. Honor, majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Spurgeon said this. Do we sing as much as the birds sing? Think about it. Those birds were up early today. Just tweet, 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 tweet. Praise of Jesus. You got more to praise Jesus than any bird alive. Amen? Spurgeon said, the angels are known, the seraphim, they fly around heaven all the time singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Wait a second. You got more to praise the Lord than any angel ever had. Jesus didn't die on the cross for angels. He died on the cross for you. I'm sorry, I just don't understand. Hey, when Duke's playing basketball, maybe one or two games you'll get something to get excited about. What's up with not getting excited every Sunday when you come in here? Woo! My favorite day of the week, I'm getting to go and greatly praise the Lord. Amen? You know J.C. Penney. 1920s, Great Depression, they had 1,700 stores. When the Depression moved in, he was over-leveraged and thought they were going to lose it all. He got so bad, so down, so depressed. Depression is real. Checked himself into an insane asylum just so that he could learn how to cope with all of this loss in his life. He kept going down and down and down. This is his testimony. Down. He got so bad, he wrote out his last will, and he wrote out a note to every one of his kids and his wife. He didn't think he would make it through the night. The next morning, he woke up, surprised to still be alive. Got up out of his bed and started walking down the hall, and he heard some singing, some church folk singing a song that you probably know. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. This is J.C. Penney, the way my mom would say it. She said, we shop at that fancy highfalutin store, J.C. Penney. This is what he writes in his biography. It was the singing of praise of believers in an insane asylum that turned me around and put me on a life of victory from a life of defeat. And Satan has convinced some of you, men don't sing. We just stare and kind of wait through it. We don't sing. I don't understand that. Paul and Silas preaching the gospel, Acts chapter 16. Beaten, bloody, aching. They're in stocks and chains. Midnight. All good civil people are asleep at midnight. Not Paul and Silas. They're singing praise to the Lord Jesus. You say, preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. It's bad. It's wicked. They sang praise to Jesus. And Jesus hits old Gabriel and says, hey, go bust those people out of prison. Here's what it says. They sang and prayed at midnight. Listen. And the prisoners heard them. One of the greatest witnesses you can give is amongst the heathen that you work with, letting them hear you sing, letting them hear you praise about the goodness of God. Number one, the song of the redeemed. Number two, you're not going to like this point either. Number two, the sacrifice of the redeemed. Look at verse 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Look at verse 8. For North Carolina folk, third time. Give unto the Lord glory unto his name. Now look what it says. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. So we're to praise. We're to testify. We're to worship. And we are to sacrifice. And we're to give. He said, I'm good at singing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Yeah, I can even wave my hand. Oh, how I love Jesus, preacher. If you love him, you're going to give him time. If you love him, you're going to give him treasure. This story was a lot better in Sanford this morning because Tracy wasn't sitting on the front row. We've been married 29 and a half years. December 10th will be 30 years. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, sickness and in health, that poor thing, sickness and in health, forsaken all others, I pledge my life to you for as long as we both shall live. 29 and a half years ago, had no idea how expensive that decision was going to be. Lord Jesus, I would be rich, but I got a wife, and she likes to shop at Walmart, and I got those three kids that she just wants to keep clothing and clothing and clothing and clothing. 29 and a half years after Jesus' best decision I ever made. But I don't know if it's the best decision she ever made, best decision I ever made, if I don't give her time. See, you don't love me. If I don't spend the money as I cry and let it go, you don't love. Chasey's not cheap. She's expensive. If you love the Lord Jesus, the redeemed should say so. They should not be ashamed to testify of the Lord Jesus. Hey, I don't care. I love that woman, period. And it caused me a lot to love that woman. Number two, the sacrifice of the redeemed. Number three, and I'll wrap this up. Notice the submission of the redeemed. Verse 10, say among the heathen, that the Lord reigns. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. Can I chase a rabbit there? That security. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. Psalm says, some trust in chariots, some in horses. We will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Hey, you saw yesterday an attempt to assassinate our former president. Greatest security in all the world is Secret Service. Years ago, Tracy and I were at the White House, and they took us next door to the Eisenhower office building, all in the White House complex. I mean, it's literally just across the driveway there, and there's the office building. And so we're talking to this guy who works at the White House who got us in. I'm like, hey, tell me about the Secret Service. He said, Neil, you know the security that you had to go through to get onto the compound.
He said, the president is secure in the White House. If he walks across the street into this building, not outside the gates, it's all in the compound. He said, we have to check down this building. He said, we go floor by floor, room by room. He said, if he gets on the elevator, there'll be four people on the elevator. There'll be two people on top of the elevator riding up and down. He said, hey, this is the safest place, is what he said, in the whole world. When I read this verse, the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. That comforts me. Hey, thank God for Secret Service. Thank God for the protection yesterday from God for our former president. But God is the best protection we have. You know, we should shout about it. Oh, he's greatly to be praised. We should sacrifice for him, but he protects you. Hey, he doesn't want you to be foolish, but God is going to protect. Look on. He shall judge the people righteously. He's creator, therefore he has authority to judge all the people of the earth. And there's coming a day where God is going to judge the world for our sin. But if you are under the blood, you won't be there that day. That's why you should trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Look down at verse 13. Before the Lord, for he cometh. Hallelujah! Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Hey, he judgeth in righteousness. So he's no crooked judge. This is no crooked, trumped up charges. No, the Lord judges righteously. He can be trusted. But there's coming a day. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Here's my thought. Why are you waiting till that day? Accept Jesus today as your Savior. You say, done that. Then start praising him. Start sacrificing for him. No better sacrifice than you can make. Send the wheelers back. Let's fill them up. Let's give and let's sacrifice for the Lord's work. And thirdly, submit. You're Lord. You're judge. So I'm not going to do my thing. I'm going to do your thing. And submit. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This week, Tracy and I, we went with my big family to the lake right there on the Georgia-South Carolina line. Now, I love my mom and daddy, so they're there in the house with us. And I love my sister. We grew up together. Thank God for my sister. And as long as my brother and I aren't on the basketball court or the golf course, I kind of get along most of the time with my brother. But then there's my brother-in-law. And he was in the house with us. And it was a lot. And then there's my sister-in-law. And I'm glad that my brother loves her, because I don't. And then you have, I'm glad she's not here watching today. And then you have all of the grandkids, and they are running around, tearing up, fighting, jumping in the water, going fishing, and everything else. And I was like, Tracy, I'm going home. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Maybe I got some issues with a brother-in-law or a sister-in-law. I got no issues with Jesus. Jesus gives me mercy and mercy and mercy. His love is running after me, just hounding me. Not judgment, not wrath. His goodness, it's running after me, running after me, running hard after me. Response?
I'm going to greatly praise him. Response, hey, I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my treasure. Response, I'm going to submit to you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.